Evan Ramsey, the high school student convicted of killing two people at the Bethel High School 2 years ago, never received psychiatric treatment. His 20-year-old brother, John, who was outwardly more troubled, had. But by then, it was too late to steer him away from violence. Tonight, we continue our week-long look at the Ramsey family, focusing on John Ramsey, who is finishing up time for armed robbery. First, however, a word of warning for our listeners. This story is very explicit, and there is profanity. Rhonda McBride reports.
John Ramsey's eyes are an unusual amber color. Although a range of emotions flicker through them, he's still hard to read. From his mouth comes a lot of foul language. Prison counselors have advised him to clean it up so he can get a job when he's released from the Cordova halfway house next June. But John says he won't change the way he talks because that's who he is.
I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. You know, really, when it comes down to it, if you ain't my family, you ain't my friend, fuck you.
Of the three Ramsey brothers, most people would have picked Evan's older brother, John, as the one most likely to go on a shooting rampage. In fact, John was once expelled from an Anchorage high school for bringing a weapon. And as early as 10 years old, he was known for violent outbursts.
I got kicked out of Holy Cross for fucking trying to scout some bitch. She was beating up on my brother, on my baby brother, Evan. That was my first assault.
And 1 week before Evan shot up the Bethel High School, John was arrested for robbing the Lasex porn shop in Anchorage. Also, just days before the shootings, the boy's father, Don Ramsey, telephoned Evan at his foster home in Bethel. It was the first time Evan had heard from his dad in years. Ramsey had just finished doing time for a similar armed attack on an Anchorage newspaper office in 1986. While some have drawn a connection between the two shootouts, John says it was the upheaval the boys experienced after their father went to prison that turned Evan into a killer.
The one incident with my dad, you know, a fine piece of glass. Yeah, it might put a small hairline crack, you know, say at the bottom of the top, wherever you want to put the crack. But the accumulation of incidents in the past 8-9 years is really going to affect him more than that one incident. And he really didn't know that much about that incident other than the fact that dad's in jail. You know, dad did something he wasn't supposed to do, and he's not coming out for a long time.
John blames his mother's drinking, her abusive boyfriends, and the state's foster care system for most of the damage.
Moving from one home to another? I mean, when you're getting beat in a foster home, fucking you want to go, you know, that's pretty fucked up for a 7- and 8-year-old to be thinking, well, damn, I hope I don't get beat when I get moved to this foster home.
One of John's foster parents, Edie Bailey, tracked the Ramsey boys over the years. She was their mother's boss at the Alaska Native Medical Center in the days before their dad was sent to prison.
John was a very cute little 3-year-old kid, and I watched him and his brothers grow up till probably John was 7 or 8, and he was always a very pleasant kid.
Bailey also believes John's stories of abuse, particularly those in homes after John was separated from his brothers.
One time they let him get beaten up by another foster kid. Another time an older kid committed some act of violence with him. I think he shot him with a BB gun. And then in another foster home, the foster mom was just ready to get rid of him and wanted me to come and pick him up.
Bailey's daughter, and then Bailey eventually became foster parents for John. But by then, John was too much to handle. Although John denies it, Bailey says he got involved in gangs and then wound up being institutionalized. John says his relationship with Bailey ended after he was falsely accused of burning down Bailey's daughter's home. Bailey refuses to discuss it, but she will talk about the good she saw in John.
John took his role as big brother very seriously. And I know that he felt a lot of responsibility for looking after Evan and William.
John was 8 years old when his father went to jail. Evan was 6 and William 3. That's when their mother started drinking heavily and moved in with a series of violent men.
I fought for my brothers. I cooked for my brothers. I got my ass whipped for my brothers. I did everything for my brothers.
Probably the worst of the boyfriends was a man from Nepakiak, a small Yupik Eskimo village near Bethel. Life there was a huge culture shock for the boys, who couldn't speak the language, didn't adapt well to the subsistence lifestyle, and were shunned as outsiders. But John found peace in the home of Jenna Hulse, the school principal's wife.
Mother was drunk a lot, and the boyfriend was violent, and so he didn't like to go home, and sometimes kids from the school would lay in wait for them when they'd walk home and attack him. And so he didn't like to go home, and we lived right next to school, so he would bring his brothers over.
Hull says the boys' clothes were dirty, and they smelled. And while John tried hard to look after his brothers, it was just too much to expect from a 9-year-old boy.
He was really good at my house. He was helpful. He was eager to please. We talked a lot. But when he was with other kids in a group, he just would fall apart. He was just sure everybody was picking on him, and he would just go to pieces. And Ivan was always very withdrawn, bothered. You know, I mean, he just always seemed like a very troubled person.
It was no wonder, considering the drunken rages Ivan saw at home, with John often the target.
He used to wake us up during the middle of the night just to whoop our ass. I got hit in the head. You know them red fire engine trucks? Got hit right in the back of the head with one of those. Got thrown out the window. I remember him trying to fucking run me over with the four-wheeler. And I used to take, you know, ass-whoopings from my brothers just so my brothers wouldn't catch the ass-whoopings. Chasing me with the knife.
One night, John decided he had had enough and was just too tired to fight anymore.
That night, I think I got my ass about five times, something like that. Put in an easy night's work. Because I really wasn't beat up that bad, and I've had worse.
But when the two passed out, John dressed his brothers and looked for shelter. The children had had nothing to eat that day.
I was always stealing shit, you know, just so I could stay afloat for myself, because my mom would really kind of waste our stuff. And stole some, like, bubble gum. That's all I had stolen in that day.
It was probably about 3 in the morning, and it was winter, so it was really cold out.
Court records say it was 22 below. Jana heard a noise on the porch that sounded like a dog.
So I tried to go back to sleep, and then I just felt uneasy. So I thought, well, I better go look just to see. And so I went out and huddled inside our Arctic entryway where the three Ramsey boys.
John told her he had tried to go to some relatives' homes, but no one would let them in. Jana did, and after hot chocolate and breakfast, her husband called the Division of Family and Youth Services. When the state placed the boys in foster care, they tried to keep them together, but John was already too violent and eventually wound up in a treatment program in Anchorage. For Ivan, the loss of his brother was devastating.
I got the impression from John that the father was the primary caretaker in their younger life, and suddenly his dad is gone. And then he was so attached to John, and suddenly John was taken away. You know, I think, you know, emotionally he had to be holding a lot in.
Years later, Ivan and Jana became reacquainted in Bethel, where Ivan lived with his adopted mother, Sue Hare, who was also superintendent of the school district. The week before the high school shootings, Ivan visited her home.
Ivan stopped in the kitchen and sat down on a stool there and talked to me, and I asked him about John, and he said, well, I said, how's John? He said, well, he is in jail for, he said, attempted murder. And over the years, you know, we had talked about John because I think I was probably the only person around her who knew John. And I said, gee, I'm really sorry to hear that. I had hoped he'd get his life together better than that. And, he said, well, I'm going to go see him, and I'll tell him that.
For Jana, the emotions well up today, just as they did in a Bethel courtroom 10 years ago when she was asked to testify at a custody hearing telephonically and can be heard sobbing in the background. The judge tries to calm her.
Ms. Saltz, just take it easy for a moment. You don't have to get emotional about this. It happened a long time ago. We're just in a clinical investigation as to what happened, but if you want to just take a moment and get a drink of water and get comfortable and so on and so forth, it's kind of like that old radio and TV program. We're just after the facts, ma'am. Don't get upset.
Judge Gail Frades died not long after that custody hearing, never knowing, like many of us, just how those facts would figure into a terrible human drama that would steal two lives and strike at the heart of an entire community. Blair Whipple, the man appointed as the boy's guardian ad litem, says he doesn't even remember the Ramseys because there were so many families like them. Rhonda McBride, APRN, Anchorage.